This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show with four-time lacrosse All-American Rick Beardsley and News Channel 9 Steve Infante. Brought to you by Mooney Marketing Group, Empower Federal Credit Union, Kenny and Kenny Law Firm, Highfield Associates, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, Britain Athletics, and Saltine Warrior Sports Pub.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Upstate Lacrosse Show alongside the four-time All-American Rick Beardsley. I'm Steve Infante. We're coming to you live on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk as well. I know you're a big fan of the Twitch thing, Rick.
I'm so big. It only took me 15 minutes to come up with a password in which I already have forgotten if I didn't write it down. But folks, we're on Twitch. We took showers. I even put a collar on for you guys at this point.
You're looking sharp.
I was worried about it this morning. I mean, gone are the days of me just trudging and making it down here. That, to me, with a big S, sucks. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. By the way, if I'm going to give a shout-out here and get my shout-outs over.
Okay.
To the Derelicts R Us Fantasy Football League, to all the boys out there. All my wife and kids, Tori and the kids are rolling on their way back to Cuse from 81 degree weather, coming into 36 and sunny. So at least we have the sunny part. And a big shout out to our guy right here, Tommy Hogan.
He's taking good care of us.
They call him El Producerente.
Really?
Instead of El Presidente, El Producerente.
I was not aware of that. That nickname might stick, Tommy.
That one should. I'm all in on that
you
one.
You like that one?
Yep.
All right.
These headphones are like putting on wet diapers. These are terrible. Oh my word, have my ears. They're going to start sweating. Good God.
Want to talk some lacrosse?
Sure.
All right, we've got Joe Spallina, women's head coach at Stony Brook, set to join us here in about a half hour.
How about that
one?
I grabbed that one guy who beat the Cuse in the big upset, which was a great game. I watched it from start to finish. One of the best women's college lacrosse games I know I've ever laid eyes on. That was such a great game back and forth. Two great teams, and Joe has got it on cruise control, man. He's got it on cruise control.
Stony Brook beat Syracuse 17-16, also knocked off Ohio State. So they're 2-0 on the season. They've got Florida next Saturday. We'll hear
another
from Joe Spallina coming up again in about a half hour from now. 315-437-7644 if you'd like to check in. A lot to get to on the show today, including a top 10 showdown for the SU men, top 10 showdown for the SU women. But we begin with what we saw last week. And you were on the call again with Jay Alter. Last week, Syracuse, Binghamton, the Orange doing to the Bearcats what we thought they would do, win and win easily, 17-4 the final. Your impressions from that game last week, Rick, what did you learn about the team?
Well, obviously, Syracuse can put up goals. I'm not going to say anything negative that they can't. The one thing I will dive into is some of the things I saw that were good and bad. First thing I saw that wasn't very good, Syracuse settled into the pace of what Binghamton wanted. Binghamton didn't want to push the pace at all. So therefore, Syracuse just didn't take it to them and get early offense. They were kind of enamored by Binghamton's zone. And Binghamton's zone, by the way, with the athletes that they have, they shouldn't have been in a zone where they stretched and created seams. They did that all game. Syracuse did a better job in the second half of settling in and scoring versus that zone. I think if I'm Army, who stumbled horribly against Marist, who, by the way, is a good team this past week, I would play a zone. They have better athletes against Syracuse. Syracuse definitely struggled in that zone when Binghamton didn't chase and create seams. What I saw Syracuse needed to work on was they played the rule of thumb is, if you're a coach, I'm going to give all you coaches out there just a little helpful hint on playing against a zone. Simple. If you don't have a zone offense, you run your man up play and look for the second look. It's simple. You run your man up play, the second look is usually there. Syracuse had to get to that point, right? It's a simple thing versus zone that stretches out. They drag and throw back. They just didn't see that. It's drag, throw back, find a seam. It could have been that easy. So Syracuse struggled. That was the one thing I saw there. Also, Nick Mellon being out, one thing I saw that was a positive of that, okay, was not that, you know, I'm down here beating up Nick Mellon. It was that the Murphy kid got more game time reps. So I think moving into this game against Army, that's vital, very much vital, because Brett Kennedy creates a different level of transition from defense to offense when he is up top at the long stick midfield position. Syracuse can get back to that. I didn't see the press conference, so I'm as lost as you guys will tell me right now. Is Nick Mellon playing this week?
He is considered week to week. If you read between the lines, it sounded like he's not going to play. But again, he hasn't officially been ruled out. We were told earlier in the week that he's still week to week.
Okay, so anyway, if he does not play, all right, I still think that Brett Kennedy should go up top because Army brings a little bit different in the matchups on the field. Jacob Morin, the product out of Auburn who played club for me, greatest kid in the world, is an absolute beast. He plays for Army, is their best midfielder. You're going to need Kennedy on him. Dearth is as big, but when it comes to, you know, playing versus a short stick on short stick, that offensive short stick has the advantage. Syracuse was very porous in a lot of ways. They were poor on picks on defense. Their sticks weren't on the inside. They got buried a bit on defense. And what I mean by that is when the ball's up top, low crease, those guys were down low with those offensive guys instead of hedging more. But the great thing that I saw out of Syracuse was they shot really well. They still do the intangibles, which is huge early in the year. They ride extremely well. Their attack gets after you. They play a nice deep zone ride in the attack. You know, we call it Rido. I can't say it on air what Rido means. I'll say it at Twitch if you'd like. I'll tell you what Rido means. I'll write it on the board.
During the commercial?
During the commercial, so we can't say it here. But yes, Syracuse's ride was huge. And I was impressed by Binghamton, how they handled that on the clear. They didn't have many mistakes. They were pretty good on the clear versus the amount of times that they had to clear the ball. Because Teddy Dolan, their goalkeeper, was on fire.
Yeah, Binghamton had just one failed clear in the first three quarters. Went 21 for 24 in the game. 4 for 6 in the fourth quarter. You're right. I mean, they were rock solid up until the end. They did turn the ball over a lot, though. And that's something I want to get to with you. Because following that first game against Colgate, you said one of the things that stood out to you was the defense just wasn't good enough, gave up 14 goals to the Raiders in the opener. They forced 21 turnovers in this game.
It's a different level of offense.
So that's my question. Yeah, is it Binghamton? Is it the opponent? Or did Syracuse take a step forward?
That was the opponent. Binghamton doesn't have an alpha male in their offense checks. They're also young. The oldest guy they have is a transfer. And then the kid Makar from my high school at Lakeland, they have juniors. Those are the only guys. There's two guys. And one started the week before, then didn't start. The transfer kid from Rodeca, if I said that right, sorry, I didn't mean to kill your family last name. People killed mine all the time. He was the only one that, you know, seemed to want the ball. There was no one that really, like, you know, wanted to go to the goal. And you have to have that. You have to have an alpha male in any offense in Division One. I mean, there's a few teams struggling with that. New Jersey Institute of Technology, I mean, two goals in the last two games in a Division One. I don't care if you're playing, you know, you're playing versus the best team ever. I mean, to score one goal is extremely unacceptable at that level. I'm sure that if you stuck Lemoyne against those two opponents, they probably dropped at least six, right? At, you know, a D2 team. That being said, Binghamton just needs to find, you know, down the street, they need to find the alpha male. But they're young, which is great. So young, like I was saying on the broadcast, a freshman isn't a freshman at the end of the year.
You asked me about Nick Mellon a moment ago. Again, nothing official is out there, so I don't want that to come across as I know for sure he's not playing. I know John Desko said week to week. Again, it sounded like to me that he wasn't going to play. When I hear week to week, I think he's not ready to come back yet. If it day to day is a little bit different, you know, Coach Desko certainly better than I do. Is it possible he's trying to withhold that information and not help out Army, or do you think week to week means he's not ready to come back yet?
I don't think Coach Desko holds back any information on anyone. I think he wants to know and wants him to play. You could sense frustration in the conference call that we had when we asked about if he was playing 2 weeks ago. So we know. He, sometimes when it's a muscle issue, what happened, Tommy? What are you pointing at?
You have sound coming from your computer.
I do? I don't know, dude. I can't hear it. I got these like maxi pads on my ears, man. I mean, what the heck? But no, I just think that he's frustrated as well. I mean, if it's what kind of injury keeps you out 2 weeks? If that's undisclosed, does that make sense? Right. Usually, if you're out 2 weeks, it's kind of a major injury. You're going to probably disclose it. you know, you're going to know if it's a hamstring. You're going to know if it's a, you know, a tweaked groin. And in my opinion, a tweaked groin, it's no opinion not to play. I mean, you should be playing. Hamstring, I could see that. But a groin, we've all played through injuries. This is, I mean, I'm not saying that I am the pinnacle of playing with through injuries in my life. I'm certainly not. But my junior year, I broke my hand in the fourth game of the year, and I was certainly not missing any games. I didn't care what you had to do. Tape me up, stick me up, make my bone stick out. I don't care. Because you only have a certain amount of time, and this is his redshirt senior year. Right. So, again, I'm not questioning his toughness at all. I am just saying that if it's an injury that you can play through, most of the time you'll want to try and play through that just because of just, you know, your clock's ticking.
Last one from me on Binghamton, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Syracuse Armory because this is a huge game tomorrow inside the Dome. Tucker Dordovic was quiet in the opener, relatively quiet against Binghamton, one goal, one assist. Is this a case of him kind of easing his way back into playing after missing all of last year?
No.
Is it just a case of so many weapons on that side of the ball?
No, first of all, it was a zone. You played against a zone most of the day, so if he's not going to be in that flow of the zone where most of their goals were scored, which were on the wings or inside. But in the 6-on-6, offensively, he's a dodger. And they haven't had to beat guys on the dodge. The attack's done a good job of drawing and dumping. I mean, Trimboli's got six goals, I think. And there are six goals. And they've always been, there've been step-down shots. He hasn't had to beat anyone one time off the dodge. Dordovic's game is to beat a guy off the dodge. So, no, I think also when you have a second midfield that's producing like it is, you also don't have to worry about your first midfield. So you become a six-person unit, and it just depends on who's got the hot hand each week.
Trimboli, six goals on the season. Scanlon, of course, leading the way with 9 goals, 3 assists,
what
2 games.
What I liked about
games.
That was he went to the goal more. He tried to be more creative, tried to do other things. That was a good thing for Chase Scanlon to be able to do.
All right. We are brought to you in part by the Mooney Marketing Group, by Empower Federal Credit Union, and by Kenny and Kenny Law Firm. We've got to take our first time out. Phone lines remain open, 315-437-7644. It's the Upstate Lacrosse Show. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show with four-time lacrosse All-American Rick Beardsley and News Channel 9 Steve Infante. Brought to you by Mooney Marketing Group, Empower Federal Credit Union, Kenny and Kenny Law Firm, Highfield Associates, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, Britain Athletics, and Saltine Warrior Sports Pub.
Do you listen to this back in the day, getting ready for a game? What was on?
You want the highlight? You do you really want?
What
to
was
know
on your Walkman back in the day?
I did have a Walkman. We used to listen to Carmenian Bronoff, O Fortuna. If I said it correctly, was the song that we used to walk into. That was started in my era. But my first ever song I came into in the Carrier Dome, my first game against Carolina, and my buddies always hooked me up. My boy Seamus Lyman always knows that's my jam. Was The Who, Eminence Front. And I either go to, when I control, I call myself a Touch Tunes All-American at any tavern or establishment I frequent myself into. I will 100% put on either, I'll definitely always have The Who on, that particular song, or I go Five Finger Death Punch. I come right in hard.
Let me ask you this. When those songs come on, does the heart start racing a little bit?
It always would. You know that, Steve, because you had the same thing. You guys came out listening to, I bet you did, because you're basketball, Ludden.
Yeah.
Right? Recruiting all the basketball players you could find back in the day to win those state titles. Turn the tables from CBA onto you there, stud, huh? And look, embarrassed, folks.
No, I'm not embarrassed at all. I was going to say, Coach Donnelly used to address that, like, jokingly, and say, listen, guys, nothing against you, but, you know, Infante wouldn't be my point guard if I was recruiting.
Listen, that's what I say to people. Would I be here? I would never lose. But the truth is, yeah, we came out to that. And then it went into Seal, Crazy, or, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Roy Colsey put Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid in the Carrier Dome. That was like our second or third song, was Under the Sea. And then it went into like a bunch of other, we had Tribe Called Quest. You definitely came out the Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. I was a big fan.
Will Army come out to their own music of Tribe Called Quest tomorrow? You know what? My challenge, anybody who's listening that is a Syracuse lacrosse player, first of all, their first song they came into was pretty sick. I admit that. I was like, I don't even know that song, but it was sick. I wanted to hit the Shazam to get it. Number two, I challenge you to come out to Tribe Called Quest or something of that era or genre, that age, come out to something like that, and people will go,
old
what
school
is this?
I love it.
My
I
kids,
love it.
They, Tribe Called Quest, babe. Who's that? Brown. We used to play that against Brown. They love that.
So I remember, and I obviously didn't play college athletics at quite the same level
yes, you did. Yes, you
but,
did.
No, I didn't. You know I played at Ithaca for a couple years, but I remember
a game at 1 o'clock. Ithaca Women's. My boy Dave Matz is in town. They're going down. I almost went down. The tailgate starts at 11. I will not be there. I'm going to Lemoyne versus Mercy. Watch my boy Ben McCreary and the Lemoyne Dolphins.
Shout out to the Bombers. I love it. My point was this. When I first started working in this business and I would have to go to games, the last thing you hear before you take the field or take the court, in my case, national anthem. I used to, you know, I'd arrive at games, I hear the national anthem in a game that I was not playing in. I was there to cover it. And same thing. Heart would start racing. You start getting a little, you know, the palms would get sweaty a little bit. So I'm sure many athletes experience that. So same thing for you, right? Anytime you hear those songs, kind of comes
yes,
back.
Yes, but here's also one thing I'd like to point out. If you're a coach or if you're a player or a fan and you're walking up to any high school stadium, or you're practicing on the lower field while a game's going on, and the national anthem comes, the right thing to do is stop.
Absolutely.
And acknowledge that.
Yes.
So I've been to a few games we've played, they'll all remain nameless, where when the national anthem hit, people continue practice right next door. I know from our perspective, that's a Hollywood Holdridge thing, Mike. Mike freezes everybody. He'll walk down and tell the JVs if, God forbid, they start. But we don't have to worry about that. We had an ex-military guy as our JV coach. So, you know, folks, that's just one thing that's a pet peeve. I'm going to say that. So if, you know, any kids are listening, or just stop and pay respect to our country. That's the greatest song known to man, by the way.
And that's a great
segue. What's your version?
Great segue. Well, back in the day when I was playing at London.
Was it Whitney Houston?
It was Whitney Houston.
Oh.
It was. Great segue, by the way. Military Appreciation Day inside the dome tomorrow. I don't know if you like to teach with videos. If you want to teach that lesson to your kids, Buzz Williams, the former head coach at Virginia Tech. The video was when he was at Virginia Tech. He's at Texas A&M now, but the basketball coach at Texas A&M. He had a video talking to his players about the importance of the national anthem, and he brought military members in to practice that day. You have to watch that video. If you want to teach that lesson to your kids, play that video for them. It's powerful stuff. In any event, on to this matchup tomorrow between Syracuse and Army. Top 10 showdown. SU number 5 in the polls. Army number 9, although a little bit of the luster is lost after that 17-11 loss to Marist earlier in the week. You know, these two teams, they always play close games. I mean, you look at their last four matchups decided by a grand total of 5 goals. I expect a close game tomorrow. Do you expect this to kind of go down to the wire like we've seen in past years between Cuse and Army?
It shouldn't, from what I've seen. The team that I saw play Marist, because I turned that game on because my text string of guys I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the broadcast is full of pro coaches, college coaches, former Hall of Famers, and that was put out right now. Marist is punishing Army. All of us, bang, went right to it, okay? Right to it. So that was the thing that was, like, interesting. What I saw was an Army team that looked so lost. So lost. Maybe because Marist jumped on them so quick, they didn't know how to handle being down that much. But I saw, like, basics. I mean, I saw Marist just put pressure on the man up, and they couldn't handle the pressure. I saw Army in transition just throw passes away. I saw them in 6-on-6 offense just throw passes over their heads. And then I also saw a Marist team who's better than people think, who has a great face-off guy. So for me, Army's really not a number 7. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I do think that Syracuse should win by 5 or 6.
Wow. All right.
Or more. But that's going to be really the big thing is, can Syracuse get the ball? And they've done a great job with that Varello-Fop combination on face-offs. That's the key to the game. Jake Fopp was at our CBA practice on Sunday working with our faceoff guys. And I said to Jake, you guys, you're going to be a huge part of what goes on. And he really is. So that matchup's going to be interesting. So, you know, like I said, West Point, great local kid, their best midfielder. Jacob Morin out of Auburn, he's a big beast, savage. They're going to have to contain him. But Syracuse got to clean those things up on defense. But Army's not going to back down, as we know.
You know, faceoffs, that's right where I was going next. You look at the faceoff numbers from just last week. I said 17-11 was the final. The final was 17-9. 17-11 was that was the faceoff numbers. Marist won 17 faceoffs. Army won 11. And you look at what Cuse did against Binghamton. Again, I know the opponent, but Syracuse 21-for-25 at the faceoff X. And through two games, Syracuse winning 72% of its faceoffs, Army just winning 52%. That is going to be a big key to this game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, if the Army faceoff guy can make it a 50-50, obviously creates a little bit different, but Jake Fopp, you know, low, been doing great, starting to get those really valuable game reps. And this is Syracuse's, I guess, first test. I don't really, like I said, I could be going out. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. I just really think Syracuse just has too much for him. I think the only thing that Syracuse, there's questions about, is their defense. You know, they've been, you can say, oh, we gave up only four goals to Binghamton. That is Binghamton, man. I can't say it any other way.
How do you explain with Army, you know, 3-1, and I realize they stumbled earlier this week, but two of their first three wins were against ranked opponents. You know, they blew out UMass 17-4. They blew out Rutgers 15-4. They were giving up on average three goals per game through the first three games against decent competition.
I think that's just them being in better shape.
Okay.
Right? I mean, your Army is always traditionally going to be in better shape than everybody else. Maybe being a little bit of early season tougher.
Okay.
They're always going to be early season. Those guys, you know, they got leave for like 2 weeks and then they were already, you know, then they were on some type of course.
Right.
Somewhere in, you know,
they're training
in the year
round.
And,
right. Yeah.
You know, so you can't question Army's toughness. I think that's what happens. I think maybe we saw a team against Marist that just really laid an egg.
Or was looking ahead potentially.
See, yeah, but see, to me, that's no excuse, like looking ahead. Like we're going to talk to Joe Spallina and, you know, Syracuse, I went to Joe's practice, and I spoke to little Sabs, Sabella, Abby's sister, and the girl that plays with Angela in the Yellow Jackets back in the day, and she was like, you know, Rick, they got interviewed, and they talked about Northwestern and didn't even, just ignored us. That kind of also lit a fire under Stony Brook, but if you know Joe, you can, there's many fires you can, they're not hard to light on with him being your coach, but I just don't know. I'm really baffled, but I also know Syracuse is pretty good. I've said in the past, Syracuse was an average team at best. Now, Syracuse is a 5-1, 4-another. They get a convincing win here. They may not slide into the top four on both polls, but it's going to be thought of. It really is. And a lot can happen today, you know, with Yale, Penn State happening right now, number one versus number three. If Penn State blows out Yale, which I don't think is going to happen, and Syracuse wins against Army, that could shift Syracuse into the top four. And that's been a long time coming, man. It's a long time coming. And you know what's great about Syracuse in life? I will tell you, folks, when you play at Syracuse, when you get in that top four, man, and that confidence starts to flow, you become a very dangerous team. So I think Syracuse getting in the top four is huge for its psyche.
All right, we're brought to you in part by Britton Athletics, Fallon Oral Surgery, and the Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. We've got to take a timeout. Joe Spallina, head coach of the Stony Brook Women, set to join us on the other side. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show with four-time lacrosse All-American Rick Beardsley and News Channel 9 Steve Infante. Brought to you by Mooney Marketing Group, Empower Federal Credit Union, Kenny and Kenny Law Firm, Highfield Associates, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, Britton Athletics, and Saltine Warrior Sports Pub.
Come on.
Did you twerk on this?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, boy!
Come on.
This Twitch thing is great.
Rick loves the music. Steve and Rick back with you on the Upstate Lacrosse Show. as we go to the Burdick Toyota guest line to bring on the head coach of the Stony Brook women, Joe Spallina, is our guest. And coach, off to a great start this season, 2-0, including a big win inside the dome, 17-16 rather, over Syracuse. I guess let's start right there. What was the secret to success inside the dome against the Orange?
What's up, guys? First off, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys allowing me the opportunity to speak about Stony Brook. And always a pleasure to hang out with Ricky Beast over there. So we're you know, like to start with the Syracuse game, it was a game where, you know, we have our kid came there with a purpose. I think we were a decisive underdog going into the game, and it's a role that we play up to pretty well. You know, we knew we had to play a close to perfect game to, you know, with the loaded and the amount of returners that Syracuse has. You know, and our kids stepped up. We started 8 kids who had never started a college lacrosse game in their life for Stony Brook. And our kids answered the call and stepped up for a huge road win.
Joe, thanks for coming on, big guy. I appreciate it. Your picture is up. You're looking really good on Twitch right now, my man. Really tan, really sharp. Hey, my question right off that, just to parlay what you're saying. So you got 8 new starters. How I watched your practice. We were lucky enough, Tori, myself, Viviana, we were lucky enough to be able to come to Ensley and watch you coach these girls prior to that game. How do you get the kids to gel so quick? I mean, that's tough to do with 8, you know, new players. What is your secret? What's your secret sauce?
I think ultimately for us, it's like we just try to, as far as practice goes, to just put our kids in a position where the pace of play is so high and so fast that they don't have time to think. And everything is, it really starts to develop an ability to make unconscious quality decisions. So I think when you're able to do that, it becomes second instinct, you know, and there's really not a lot of thinking going on. It's all impulsive. And all these kids, I think, that go to all these schools are really talented, and lacrosse is their gift. I think sometimes it could either be overcoached or overanalyzed, and the kids become robotic, mechanical, and are very conscious with every play that they make. So I think the biggest thing for us, and we tell our players all the time, is like no thinking allowed. Like just the play that's there, make it, be instinctive, be sure of what you're doing, and don't think twice. So any mistakes we make going full speed, and you try to put them in a position where they're always making high-level decisions, you know, without any thinking involved, and it just basically, you know, becomes natural.
You guys have, you know, quite the program going there at Stony Brook. You know, you look at the last several years and the amount of wins you've had and how deep you've gone into the NCAA tournament, and you've come up just short against some of the, you know, the brand name programs, let's call them, you know, losing by Maryland, you know, losing to Maryland by 1 in 2017, losing by 1 in the tournament to Syracuse in 2016, you know, going 20-1 in 2018. What have you guys learned as a program over the course of the last several years that puts you in position to maybe take that next step this year?
Well, it's been quite the haul, you know, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, we've had to earn every step because we are, you know, this is my 9th year, so as crazy as it sounds, we're all the new kid on the block. Like we're the ones that walk into a party and the whole party stops and looks and says, "Well, what the hell are they doing here?" You know, so and I love that. You know, I think that I love that kind of who we are, but you know, I do, slowly but surely, we've taken the steps to earn the national respect. But to me, I really don't care what anyone outside of my locker room thinks of us. So, and our players have that same kind of mentality. You know, so for us, we know that to have that respect, to have that, you know, you have to just win games. You know, so as nice as it's been for us to have the success, the long-term success, you know, being a top 20 team for the last 9 years, and, you know, being number 1 in the country 2 years ago for, you know, almost the entire season, we're not number 1. We want to be the number 1 team in the last poll, not the middle poll, not the first poll, not, you know. So I think we need to validate ourselves. We need to get to the Final 4, you know, and I don't think that's something that's out of reach for us. We're obviously extremely young, but I look at that as a positive with the amount of game experience our kids got, and even just going into the dome and winning in the dome. You know, and then coming home, being able to show that we can handle success against Ohio State, you know, and now we have a like a 2-week little mini camp where we can get back to the lab and get better. You know, where a team, some of these other teams with senior heavy teams or veteran laden teams, they're as good as they're going to be pretty much, give or take, you know, a little bit of growth, camaraderie, stuff like that. Where we have freshmen that are playing that their roof, their ceiling is really, really high, and we haven't scratched the surface yet. You know, so I think that's exciting for us, and I haven't necessarily had that since probably Kylie O'Miller's freshman year, where we knew we had a special team then, and but we also knew that the ability for that squad to grow and improve and be better was there, and that puts the pressure back onto the coaches and away from the players, and that's kind of the way I like it.
So, Joe, you're rolling in another week to Gainesville to take on a pretty hot Florida team. Then you jump back on a plane, head home, then play Towson midweek, and then Princeton, who is a pretty hot team, and then probably the hottest team of all right now, besides yourself, would be USC, all the way in L.A., which I know you'll be tanned up, ready to go. Will you be in a suit if it's hot? That's my question. I want to know what suit colors you will be in.
Yeah, we have to be. I might have to do a little Miami Vice look down in, you know, out in Cali. I might have to go a little Don Johnson look, go a little bit lighter of a suit. But you know, I think that schedule's a bear, right?
Yep,
so we go a top 10 team, come home for a top 20 team,
yep,
and then stay home for another top 10 team, and then fly cross country for a Sunday game with probably at that point another top 10 team. Mm-hmm. So three of our next four games are top 10 teams and opponents. So, you know, one thing I've learned through the years is that, you know, you get into the NCAA tournament winning top 20 games. You get home playoff games, home NCAA games by winning and beating top 10 teams. So we've beaten one. You know, we'll be big Syracuse fans tonight when they take on Northwestern, which should be a doozy of a game. You know, and for us, we're working on ourselves this entire week, and then we'll start the game plan towards Florida starting on Monday. But, you know, I think one of the things what we just try to do is just try to dial ourselves in. You know, USC had a huge win yesterday, so I think it'll be interesting to see what's going on with BC. I think they're a super talented team, and they kind of remind me of us last year when the year before we had graduated O'Miller and Murphy and hundreds of goals and hundreds of assists. And, you know, they kind of are going through that now with graduating Apuzzo and Arsenal. So, that is an incredible coaching staff with Acacia, Kayla, and they're going to get that thing back on track really quick. So, but great win for SC last night, that's for sure.
You know, Joe, that my question really wasn't about your suit, but you kind of covered a bunch of it. So let me go parlay. Let me just pump over to something different. So last year, you lost 11-10 to Florida. You know, like when you go into weeks like that, you know, you're a fiery guy. I know you quite well at this point. Do you absolutely just make sure that the girls never forget that? Because to me, your girls didn't need to forget much. They already knew. That was the one thing I was so impressed. Those girls had a chip on their shoulder before that SU game, but now going into this, does that chip continue to stay there?
Yeah, and there's a lot of familiarity there too, Rick, with Florida, just to get into focus more on the Florida game. They have a ton of Long Island kids, and a lot of our players know them. We just finished film. We're heading out to practice now. We had our kids know all their kids. They have their Kavanaugh kid is a Long Island kid, Cabrera, Heller, they have a bunch of Long Island kids. So we know them really well. Our kids know them real well, and there's pride on the line. We have not had a ton of success against Florida. We have beaten them. When we beat them, it was down in Florida. It was actually the day after Olivia was born. Your good friend Olivia.
My gosh, you kicked me right in the shins. Love that girl.
The shin kicker, yep.
That's Joe's youngest daughter.
So, what an opportunity for Stony Brook, right? To go down there and play the role of the villain and to go win a big game on the road. That's the goal. But, you know, I think our kids are, you know, we have had a tremendous week of practice. Hungry, no complacency, getting after each other. And you know, that's what I love about our kids. It's not, they don't generally need a lot of motivation. It's kind of us against the world, and we like it that way.
Last one from me, Joe. As you mentioned, you've been at Stony Brook 9 seasons now. When you look around the state of women's lacrosse in terms of rule changes over the years, in terms of parity, in terms of fan interest, bring me up to date with where you think the game is and if it's moving in the right direction.
Well, kudos to the women's lacrosse rule people, because I think the women's side have been pioneers in with the shot clock, with the evolution of the rules in the game, the pace of play. So, you know, I'd like to even see it accelerated more. I'd like to see the shot clock shortened. I'd like to see, you know, maybe a 70-second clock instead of a 90. You know, something where we could do that. I'd like to see, you know, things along those lines. But I think they've been pioneers as far as pushing the game forward to make it more TV-friendly, which would allow it to grow more. You know, as far as the interest, I could tell you, like, we played Ohio State this past week. It was 25 degrees, windy, cold, and
sounds like
we
Syracuse
had 1,500
summer.
People here. Yeah, exactly. We had 1,500 people. The place was packed. We had girls signing, you know, autographs, kids staying after the game. So I think we've done we've worked very hard in connecting with the community and giving the young kids of Long Island, as you know, you know, a hometown team, a team that they can, you know, kids can walk into the stadium and say, I want to be the next, you know, Allie Kennedy. I want to be the next Kylie Oldmiller. I want to be, you know, the next, you know, Kaylin Hart, whoever it is. But also to have the ability to talk to those players and connect. And you and I both have young daughters. You know, to have positive female role models, what's better than that for our kids? You know, something that they could aspire to be, something they can actually achieve. And then be able to connect with those players.
100% agreed. Let me just throw this in before Steve takes us out to break. Joey, your son is the number one recruit in the country in the 2022 class. Perfect timing for him to slide right in and take number 22, Joe, just so you know, buddy. Perfect time for him to come
wow,
right in.
I like that.
Way to put him on the side. That I know we break chops. I know I break a lot of chops, but he's right here. Bang, 22. There's our new 22.
He made it a point to be in the dome to watch us play there. So I know it's on his radar for sure.
There it is. You like my pitch. There it is. Come on, Joey. You want to be an orange, brother. Orange is the new cool.
Coach, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. Continued success to you and your program.
You guys are the best. Talk to you soon.
See you, Joey.
All right, Joe Spallina, head coach of the Stony Brook Women. Final timeout. We'll wrap this show up right after this on ESPN Radio.
This is the Upstate Lacrosse Show with four-time lacrosse All-American Rick Beardsley and News Channel 9 Steve Infante. Brought to you by Mooney Marketing Group, Empower Federal Credit Union, Kenny and Kenny Law Firm, Highfield Associates, Tully's, Fallon Oral Surgery, Burger King, Britain Athletics, and Saltine Warrior Sports Pub.
All right, we've got about 5 minutes left on the Upstate Lacrosse Show. Do you pull some strings to get the CBA boys basketball team in here in studio coming up next on the high school show?
I am 100% just fired up. I saw, you know, Buddy Wiklinski, the AD. Yeah. He's like my dad. Love Buddy.
We were just talking about Buddy.
He was 63, it said on Facebook. No way. He's been there. He's been at CBA for like 63 years.
All right, let's quickly go around the rest of Central New York. We've talked a lot about the Syracuse men. We touched on the women. Big one for Gary Gates ladies tonight. Number 7 in the country. They're at number 6 Northwestern, yeah. 8 o'clock, the team that ended their season a year ago.
Yeah, so that number, the big billing is number 22 versus number 22. Casey Powell, now a volunteer on Northwestern staff. But yet, I saw Casey in L.A. yesterday. So unless he caught a red eye, I don't know if he'll be in the game.
It's a night game.
But I think there's an event today here that he has.
All right.
I just know this. There might have been a reason why CP was in L.A. You lacrosse fans, I'm trying to put that all together. The PLL is based in L.A. Things that make you go, Anyway.
Sounds like you have some inside information.
I don't have any inside information. I'm just like a sleuth. That's how I roll. I don't have any inside information.
Right. I don't know if I believe you, but okay.
I would tell you right now. You know you would tell it. You know I would break the news.
All right. It's the Upstate Lacrosse Show. We're brought to you in part by Burger King, by Tully's, and by Highfield Enterprises. Lemoyne Men, 18-6 win last week against Roberts Wesleyan. Yep. They've got the ninth-ranked team in all of Division II. Mercy today, 1 o'clock up there at Lemoyne College.
And I will 100% be there to support my boy Ben McCreary, a midfielder. Lemoyne's first midfield is just ridiculously good. They're all big. They're fast. They play summer league on the Highfield team that we put together. It is amazing to see the level that they play at. Their defense is strong. Should be a good game. They play real fast. Danny's got those guys back on track. They're the number two team, like you said, playing the number nine team in the polls because no new polls have come out yet. Limestone is the number one. That that's Ryan Demarest, our boy Demo, who's been in studio before. That's his alma mater. So Lemoyne will be big. You know what I'm saying? Would be big.
Lemoyne women still have yet to play a game. They open up March 1st against Mercyhurst. Getting back to the men, Cornell 2-0. They picked up a 17-10 win at Towson yesterday, opened with a 19-10 win at Albany. So the Big Red 2-0, they've got High Point tomorrow in Baltimore.
And that's really a big I thought Towson would be a bigger test. I was really questioning, and I watched that game on LSN, the Towson-Cornell game. Cornell looked great. They were a little bit skeptic and a little bad in the beginning defensively, but then they cleaned it up. Pete Millman's got those guys firing on all cylinders. They'll be a top 10 team after they win today. When they play High Point, that's going to be a real big one, man. High Point's tough and can knock you off early. I think that's going to be a high scoring game. So whoever wins that one's going to be high scoring.
We've got to get him on the show.
Oh, Peter? Yeah,
good,
no problem.
Good friend of the program.
I'll always get Pete on, yep.
Colgate, 0-3. They fell at Princeton most recently, 20-11. They're at Hobart today in Geneva trying to pick up their first win of the season.
Who's playing where, what?
Colgate. At Hobart.
Now, Hobart is that team that we're going to see play Syracuse in 2 weeks. Jay and I will be making that call. I'll be stinking up the television waves, as I usually do, as the guy with the bad accent and talks funny. That being said, Hobart is really good. Hobart can put goals up on you. This will be a fun game. Colgate does not like to slow the ball down. Matt's thing at Colgate is that he doesn't change who he is for anyone, which I respect, even though they have some losses. Princeton, kind of throttle them, but when a guy drops 14 points on you. And by the way, I would like to put it out there. People are trying to compare Michael Sowers to Mike Powell. You could say they maybe look alike. Mike Powell won national championships. Mike Powell is a four-time first-team All-American. I don't care what anyone says. If Mike Powell put his stuff on right now, he put his equipment on, went out on the field, he'd still be the best player on the field. I don't care. You guys can't debate that. I know that's my opinion, but I'm going to tell you right now, Mikey P, honestly, he's on the Mount Rushmore, and he still can play. Now, I'm done with my rant.
I saw you mixing it up a little bit on that topic the last couple days.
That'll just tell you, don't go out late and then go on Twitter.
That was a case of
late-night tweeting? Yes, that was 100%. That was late-night tweeting. I admit that. I woke up to a blank storm of tweets, and I had no idea why, but okay. Good enough.
All right, let's circle it back now to Syracuse Army inside the dome tomorrow. 1 o'clock face-off, Syracuse number 5, Army number 9. Again, all they do is play close games. Last four games decided by a total of 5 goals. I know you said earlier you thought it was going to come down to Syracuse by 4 or 5. Give me the key to this game tomorrow. Is it simply face-offs, or what else is it for the Orange?
It's face-offs, and then who controls the middle of the field? I don't think Army's going to be able to handle the rides that Syracuse will apply to them. I'm going to tell you, would you like my prediction?
Yeah.
Would you like my score prediction?
Your official prediction.
And it pains me to do this because I love Joe Alberisi so much. Oh, I love Joe, Auburn native, head coach at Army. Pains me. I got Syracuse 14, the Cadets 9. I got a 5-goal W.
All right.
Accused Tommy loves it.
I'm holding you to it.
That's fine. Hold me to it. Then next week, if I'm wrong, so what? We move on.
All right. We're going to be at the Orange Crate tomorrow. So come
right
on down and say hello. We're going to be there from noon to 1 o'clock leading up to
noon
opening face-off.
We'll be keeping it real. RC and the crew, we'll be out there. I think you got Labatt's drink specials everybody. Good
Some
time.
Some ticket giveaways.
Ticket giveaways. Nothing better than to just do the meet and greet and do your thing.
Can't wait.
Neither can I.
Another show in the books for Rick Beardsley. I'm Stephen Fonte. Thanks for listening. 1 o'clock face-off tomorrow inside the Dome. We'll talk to you again next week.